Hello and welcome to I'm a Wolf. I'm Erin Olds and I'm happy that you're here with me today. I'm a 6'2 emotional manifester, Taurus, mother, and author, passionate about writing, human design, tarot, and parenting. Pour yourself a cup of tea, snuggle up with your favorite fuzzy blanket, and let's see where the conversation leads us. Thank you for being here. Hello, my dear friends. Welcome back to I'm a Wolf. Today, I want to talk to you a little bit about human design, a little bit about hustle culture, and a little bit about trying to embrace a restful and still impactful life. First, let's talk a little bit about human design. If you are not familiar with what human design is or what your particular human design is, I would encourage you to go online and just type in my human design chart into Google, and you'll find a wide variety of resources and a wide variety of free tools to create your own human design chart. What I want to talk about today is your sacral center. Now, I need to preface this by saying that human design takes a lot of its inspiration from the Indian chakra system or chakra. I am not an expert in the chakra or chakra system, and if you want someone who really is, I would encourage you to go and find Indian practitioners who can teach you more about that. So what I am telling you here is only through the lens of human design, and it is all based in my personal experiment with human design and my own personal understanding. I hope it is still helpful, but it's important to note that this is not the system of my ancestors, and so therefore I am a guest here. And I am doing my best to honor the creators and traditional gatekeepers of this information. Now, in human design, if you have a defined sacral, what that's going to look like on the chart is if you look at the bottom, you'll see a square, that's your root. If you go directly above it, there is another square, and that is the sacral center. In human design, if your sacral square is filled in, that means you have a defined sacral. This means that you have consistent access to sacral energy. You are also a generator or a manifesting generator if you have that sacral center defined. Most of the people in this world have a defined sacral. However, if you are a projector, a reflector, or a manifester, your sacral center will be white. That means that it is open or undefined. This means that you have inconsistent access to the sacral energy. Now, in human design, there is no such thing as good or bad. There is no such thing as best or worst. There is simply what you are. And within that, there are difficulties. And within that, there are gifts. If you have a defined sacral, it operates similarly to a car. So I want you to imagine that your car runs out of gas. You need to refuel it, right? But once you have refueled the car, if it is in proper working order the rest of the way, the car can travel a certain amount of distance, right? It can go for a certain amount of length or time before it needs to be refueled again. This is how the sacral center works. You wake up in the day with a battery that has enough capacity to do a certain number of tasks or a certain number of objects or create a certain number of things or have a certain number of conversations. Whatever it is, you have a consistent physical energy that shows up for you at the beginning of every day. This is, of course, if you are in alignment. It's probably also important here to note that having a chronic illness is not the same thing as being out of alignment, although I'm sure you could find plenty of people on Instagram who would disagree with that take. Living in alignment simply means being fully aware of your gifts and trusting yourself deeply. So if you are living fully in alignment with your defined sacral, you will naturally have a daily ebb and flow of energy that will refill itself after you have slept well at night. Another idea with a defined sacral is that you need to physically use all of your energy. So if you have a defined sacral and you're struggling to sleep at night, the defined sacral requires that you get out all of that energy, that you completely drain your battery, if you will. That isn't to say that you go to bed feeling empty, but that you are using all the gas that is in your tank, right? We're not going overboard, but we're using the gas that's in the tank. The sacral is a wonderful help with making decisions, and maybe we'll talk about that later. But what I want to focus on is that if you have a defined sacral and you are living in accordance with your design, if you are aligned with yourself within your design, then you will have that consistent energy show up for you every day. So say, for instance, that you had a defined sacral and you're writing a book, because that is something that I'm intimately familiar with. My writing partner has a defined sacral, and she is able to show up every single day at the same time and write for a certain amount of time. That doesn't mean that it's easy for her to do that writing. It doesn't mean that it always comes naturally. It doesn't mean that she's pounding out thousands and thousands of words every single time she does this, but it does mean that she has the ability to show up every single day and work on it. Now, I know not every person with an undefined sacral experiences it just like me, but I can only speak from my experience. So here you go. The thought of showing up every single day at the exact same time to do the exact same task makes me want to pull my eyes out. I cannot explain to you how much that makes me want to die. I despise showing up at the same time every single day to do a thing. You can see why my critique partner and I are such a good match, because we balance each other really well. Instead, what happens with me with my undefined sacral is probably also important here to note that I have an emotional authority, so it comes in waves. I will write nothing for weeks sometimes. I do nothing. And then all of a sudden, I will have a fully formed story enter my brain, often with beginning paragraphs, beginning scenes, whole sections, and I will write a book, a whole book, in a month, or I will write it in, I don't know, a month is the fastest I've ever done it consciously, where I was trying to see how quickly could I actually do this when I feel inspired. But I don't show up consistently. That is not who I am. It is not how my brain works, and it is not how my design works. It has taken me a really long time to be okay with that. I am inconsistent, and that is not bad. I mean, just look at the distance between this podcast episode and the previous one. I just haven't felt like doing it. And so you know what? I just didn't do it. Instead, what I do is I wait until I'm in the mood to do it. I wait until I feel that urge of, ooh, I know what I want to do. And then I do it. But I do not show up consistently. In a culture, so I live in the United States. In the culture that I was raised in specifically, the ability to show up consistently was really important. You showed up on time, and on time meant 15 minutes early. So you had to wake up consistently at the exact same time every single day. You had to show up and do certain things on certain days. Going to work was a real struggle for me when I got my first job, not just because, you know, it's a transition to be able to figure that out, but because I had to leave at the same time every day. That was so hard. So this is, for me, it's a combination of the fact that I also have an open root center, which that's the bottom one on the graph. And for me, that shows up in feeling like I have an inconsistent experience with what time feels like. And we can talk about that later. But in a nutshell, what it means is I say, oh, I need to take a shower. That'll probably take me like 10 minutes max. And then I get out of the shower and it's been a half an hour. And I genuinely don't know how much time has passed. I don't have any consistent sense of that. That was something I felt a lot of shame for, but it's just because I have an undefined root center. It's not actually a bad thing. So now I just plan my life in such a way. I have reminders. I set my phone alarms, things like that. Anyway, I did not come on here to talk about my undefined root. I came on here to talk about my undefined sacral. So one of the things that I find is given as advice in how to succeed as a parent, how to succeed as a mom, how to succeed as an author, how to succeed as a business owner, as a friend, as a whatever, blah, 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 is deeply rooted in the concept that you have to show up every single day and you have to hustle every single day. And I hate that. I hate it. And I'm here to tell you that it's just not true. You do not have to hustle. You are perfectly capable of having a tremendous impact if you just wait If you have an undefined sacral and you are feeling pressure, whether it's from society, from friends who mean well, or just from being around people whose energy is different than yours, if you're feeling that pressure to, oh no, I'm not doing enough. Oh no, I need to be working harder. Oh no, I need to be showing up consistently. I'm such a bad person. All those things. No, no, my sweet non-sacral love. What you need to do is become aware of what your strategy and authority are and practice listening to those. And then when an offer shows up in your inbox that says, hey, come work with me, I'm a really cool coach, you can check in with yourself and say, is that something that is right for me? And a lot of the, for me anyway, I get told no a lot by my body. And I am so used to ignoring my body's cues and to pretending like it said yes when it said no and pushing through that it's been really a tricky shift to understand that no means no. I've heard it described that generators are similar to cars and that manifestors are similar to a bomb where you wait and wait and wait and wait and then it comes out. I like to think of it more as a seed than a bomb because when I have those moments of bright, powerful flourishing that come out of me, it creates new things and it has impacts that I don't see and that I'm not even aware of. And I tell you what, if I have used all of my creative energy on showing up consistently for other things beforehand, I don't have that same germinating power that I would if I just waited. Now, that's specifically for a manifestor. For a projector, you might find that you are giving your energy to other people constantly, trying to help them with things that they're not actually ready for. My son's a projector, and we talk about this a lot, that waiting for an invitation is not a way to tell you to be quiet, but it is a way to encourage you to value what you have to say and to know your own worth and save it for the people who will recognize that worth within you as well. For reflectors, I don't know any reflectors personally aside from my cat, and I don't think he counts. But for reflectors, the ability to hold on to something and wait for that full 28 days so that you can see all of the potential ripple effects of it and let the moon really guide you through the process of it, there is something deeply powerful in that that just doesn't happen when you show up consistently to do a thing. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to show up consistently. If that is what your design is, then that's fabulous. And I'm also not saying that people who are not sacral beings can't show up consistently. They absolutely can. There are plenty of people who have figured out a way to make it work for themselves, and I think that is beautiful. For me personally, embracing the fact that I am a non-sacral being means that I say no to hustling. I say no to marketing something when I'm not ready for it. I say no to promoting my book in lots of places because I'm not ready to do that. I don't want to. And that is the magical key of it. It's not that I can't. It's not that I don't know how. It's that I don't want to. And when I don't want to do a thing, I don't do it. Now, I can already hear people freaking out because I am a parent and that involves doing a lot of things that you don't want to do. Yes, it absolutely does. I know that. And when I am making choices that are for me and my best and highest good, I don't do things unless I want to do them. I will make dinner for my family because my children need to eat. I will wake up at a certain time to drive my kids to school because that's important, even though I hate it so much. But when it comes to me and my choices, if I don't feel that sense of, ooh, yeah, this feels just like really good to me, then I don't do it. I don't do it. And I do have an emotional authority. And so it is a little bit different because the way I'm describing it, I'm sure if any of you are familiar with human design, you're like, that sounds more like a sacral response. And yeah, I know it does. But that is what I've learned to work with my emotional wave to, I can feel when something is going to be a, yeah. And I can feel when something is going to be a, oh, but I'm so tired. And whenever I feel that, oh, I'm so tired, I know that that is my open sacral struggling to activate. So I just don't do it. And I think it stresses a lot of people out when I refuse to do things that they think I should be doing. And that's okay. It is okay to stress people out. It is okay for you to rest. It is okay for you to do nothing. It is okay for you to just sit and be and observe. It is okay for you to take a break. It is okay for you to be inconsistent. And it is beautiful for you to know yourself well enough to show up strongly when you are ready to show up strongly. And for those of you with defined sacrals, please see your friends who are non-sacral beings and honor them. We know for the most part that you don't mean to make us feel bad, but sometimes, for instance, if you send me a text and say, hey, what have you done today? Or, hey, I've had such a productive morning. How's your to-do list? Or anything along those lines. That sort of thing implies that I need to be working really hard. I can't even tell you the amount of times a friend has messaged me and I'm like, hey, here's what I've done so far today. How are you doing? And my response is, I haven't gotten out of bed yet. And because I have gorgeous friends who are just the best people, their responses are, oh, good choice. And oh, love that for you. Or, you know, just like the Alexis GIF from Schitt's Creek. But please be kind to your non-sacral friends. And my non-sacral friends, please be kind to yourselves. If someone tells you to do something and you feel that sense of, oh, I don't know where I'm going to get the energy to do that, don't do it. Just don't do it. Okay? Don't do it. You can lean back. You can let the universe provide for you. Because when you save your energy for the things that are the most important, you have an extraordinary impact on the world around you. This is absolutely anti-capitalist because you are not a product. You are not a production machine either. You are a human. And part of being human is saying no. Part of being human is refusing to overwork yourself. Part of being human, and when I say being human, I mean being deeply, transcendently human, where you are aware of all of the pain and all of the beauty simultaneously, and you can hold that in yourself. There is nothing else as beautiful and poignant as that. Of course, it's important to make money because we live in a reality where you need that. But if you can say no and let yourself rest instead, if you can say no and let yourself recover, if you can say no and instead do something that delights you, do that instead. It's okay for you to take a break. It's okay to go for weeks without writing. It is okay to do that. And when you can lean back from that clutching need and that desperate feeling of having to hurry up and that feeling of, oh no, I'm not doing enough, I'm a failure. When you can let go of that feeling, what you will find instead is that you learn to trust yourself. Because if you are non-sacral, even if you're sacral actually, and you can say, I am too tired today, or I have used all of my energy, or my battery is empty, or what I really want to do is binge watch the last 17 seasons of Grey's Anatomy, then you can do that. And you can trust yourself that you will come back. You do not have to be afraid of your own power, and you do not have to worry if you will return to yourself, because I promise you that you will. So change your office hours. Make it so you are only available for meetings on one day. Shift your schedule so that your kids watch a movie in the afternoon so you can take a nap. Adjust your expectations for your writing life. And instead of telling yourself you have to write 50,000 words in the month of November, which, P.S. NaNoWriMo is my ride or die. I love NaNoWriMo so much. Such a big fan. But instead of telling yourself that you have to or somehow you are a failure, use that container as a space to play in and trust yourself that if you stop halfway through or if you are done halfway through, that you will come back. Human design, in my experience, is an experiment in learning to listen more closely to your body, to become more aware of who you are, to release shame around those things, and to trust yourself again. Of course, you don't have to do anything I say. I'm just a random kid with a podcast. But if you do have an open sacral, think about where you have been requiring yourself to show up in a way that is not authentic to you. And maybe consider just stopping. I'm wishing you all a very restful day and a little shoulder angel that tells you to say no more often. You can trust yourself. It's okay. You don't have to believe the people who told you you were bad for not showing up consistently. You can trust yourself instead and know that you are deeply powerful and that your impact only increases when you put yourself first. That's everything, y'all. We'll talk later. Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in today to this episode of I'm a Wolf. If I triggered you, I'm not sorry. If I made you laugh, I'm glad. If you feel like you need to go have a hard conversation with someone, I'm sending you all the courage to do so. Remember that learning to love yourself is the hardest and most important work you will ever do. Remember that even when you feel alone, you're not. And remember, above all, that I believe in you. You can do hard things. You do them every day. We'll see you next time on I'm a Wolf.